This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guests this morning are Erica Schrader, staff scientist at the Washington Toxics Coalition, and Heather Trim, toxics program manager at People for Puget Sound. Erica and Heather are here today to tell us about the report, Puget Sound Down the Drain, How Everyday Products Are Polluting Puget Sound. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
First, would each of you like to say a few words about the organizations you represent? Erica, would you like to tell us about the Washington Toxics Coalition?
Sure. Washington Toxics Coalition is now in our 28th year of working to prevent toxic pollution in the state of Washington and protect the health of the people who live here.
Heather, would you like to tell us about People for Puget Sound?
Sure. People for Puget Sound is an environmental group that works to restore the health of the Sound and the Straits for wildlife and for our future generations.
What led you to write your report, Puget Sound Down the Drain? What is the goal of the study?
Well, what we are doing is trying to solve what's become a real mystery. We have chemicals like phthalates turning up in the sediments of Puget Sound. We have chemicals like the toxic flame retardants, PBDEs, building up in the bodies of orcas. But these are chemicals that, to a large extent, are used in indoor products. So when they're used in products inside our home, how then are they getting from the products in our home out into Puget Sound where they can do harm to the wildlife that live there?
How polluted is Puget Sound overall?
Well, Puget Sound is, in some regards, actually getting a little bit cleaner. But unfortunately, we have a number of chemicals that are continuing to come in both in stormwater and in wastewater. And what we were looking at specifically in this study was the issue of some of the chemicals, like phthalates, which is a plasticizer, coming through the sewage and then out into the Sound after some treatment so that it gets partially treated. But in fact, there are phthalates and other chemicals still coming out into Puget Sound. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to clean up some of the legacy contaminants in Puget Sound, but yet we still have continuing pollution going in.
How is the pollution affecting the Puget Sound ecosystem?
Well, chemicals like phthalates are endocrine disruptors, and what they do is they affect the population of the little critters that are in the mud, the benthic organisms, their reproduction. So these are reproductive toxic chemicals that you're seeing not only in the benthics, but also in salmon and in other wildlife in the Sound. So this is actually impacting the food web and sort of the quantity of species and their health.
Would you like to say more about why you chose to examine phthalates in your study?
We chose phthalates for a couple of different reasons. One is that they're definitely a problem for the health of Puget Sound. In a lot of cases, we're seeing, as Heather mentioned, some of the levels of toxics are going down. And yet at the same time, because of the continued use of phthalates, we're continuing to contaminate the Sound with phthalates. So that was one reason. The other reason is that they're very popular chemicals that are used in many products in our homes. So we thought there was a good chance that if we found them in the house dust in our homes, we knew that we would find them in the house dust, that we would also find them traveling on our clothes and getting into the wastewater.
Well, you've alluded to this earlier, but could you underscore why phthalates are problematic?
Phthalates are hormone-disrupting chemicals, and they've been shown to cause problems for benthic organisms, the critters that live in the mud that Heather mentioned, as well as for larger animals such as fish. And they've been found specifically in the bodies of Chinook salmon in Puget Sound.
We should also mention that they are of importance for human health as well. So there have been a number of studies that have looked at mammals and also human babies and have seen that they are associated with reproductive problems, including deformations and also potentially things like testicular cancer and that kind of thing. So they are a very important chemical for humans as well as wildlife.
How extensive is phthalate contamination of Puget Sound?
Well, we have 18 Superfund sites in Puget Sound that are associated with the muds and the sediments. And in 13 of those, you see phthalates associated with them. We see phthalates in the Duwamish River, which is one of our major Superfund sites here in Seattle. We've also had specific studies of phthalates in Tacoma at the Commencement Bay cleanup site. So probably anywhere we look where there are storm drain and sewer outfalls, we're going to see phthalates, but they've been specifically studied in certain areas.
What is known about how phthalates get into Puget Sound? What are the pathways?
So there are 10 pathways for how toxic chemicals get into Puget Sound in general. And for phthalates, the most important pathways are sewage and industrial discharges. And we look specifically at the sewage discharge for this study. There's also stormwater discharges, and there's also aerial deposition. So those are sort of the main pathways of how phthalates are getting into the Sound. We should mention that phthalates aren't only in indoor products. They're also used in many outdoor products as well. So, for example, vinyl siding of homes in concrete. They're used in quite a few products that are going to have external product-related sources as well.
To what extent do phthalates build up in the environment?
Phthalates are not considered generally persistent chemicals, so when they're exposed to air, they are biodegradable. However, they do build up in sediment when they're not exposed to air. So that's why we're continuing to see their levels increase in sediment in Puget Sound.
You mentioned this earlier, but how widespread are phthalates in consumer products?
Well, phthalates are used predominantly as plasticizers for PVC or vinyl products. So PVC by nature is a fairly brittle plastic, so if you want that plastic to be softer, such as for a toy or a vinyl purse, something like that, they need to add plasticizers. And the thing about it is that in many cases, the phthalates are actually at a very high concentration. So up to 45-50% of the product can actually be phthalates. And they're not chemically bound to the other chemicals in the plastic. And so that's why they can leach out.
And phthalates are also used in personal care products to hold the fragrance. So a lot of perfumes and colognes and then other things like hair mousse and hairspray and that kind of thing, nail polish. They're also used in all sorts of products around our home. For example, the glues that hold the wallpaper on the wall, carpet, backing, just a ton of different types of products within your home have phthalates in them.
Which products contain the highest levels of phthalates?
To my knowledge, it's the plastics that contain the highest levels. There isn't a lot of information out there on what exactly the levels are. You know, we've done some testing ourselves, which I believe we've discussed on this program, about phthalate levels in toys and found up to 47%. Recent testing has also found them in fairly high concentrations in products like shower curtains. You know, one of the problems with our laws in this country is we don't require, number one, that manufacturers tell you what chemicals are in the product, and we don't have regular government testing of these products, so the information out there is quite spotty about the levels.
And they're not required to put on the label. So if you're a consumer, you don't know. The only personal care product, for example, that's required to have phthalates on the label is nail polish. So as a consumer, you have no idea if there are phthalates in it or not.
Now tell us how you set up or structured the study described in your report, Puget Sound Down the Drain, and what you measured.
So what we did is we recruited 6 homes around the Puget Sound region, so all the way from Bellingham down to Tumwater, and asked each family to not vacuum for a week and to prepare a load of clothing. So what we wanted to do was figure out, could there be phthalates and other toxic chemicals building up in the house dust, so getting out of products, getting into the house dust, and then hitchhiking on the clothes of the family during the day, and then getting into the wastewater when they wash those clothes in the washing machine. So that was the pathway that we were investigating. Could it be going product, house dust, clothing, and then to the washing machine and wastewater? So we recruited 6 families, and we went out to each of those homes, took samples of the house dust, and also had them run a load of laundry, and took a sample of water, and had both the house dust and the water tested for 16 different phthalates. The other thing I should note is that, you know, as we mentioned, phthalates are in a lot of personal care products. They're also in cleaners. And so we took 2 detergents ahead of time and had them tested for phthalates. We found phthalates in one of those products, Tide. We did not find it in the other product, which was 7th generation. So what we did was we asked our participants to use the 7th generation detergent to wash the clothes. So we knew that that was not a source of phthalates in our study, that any phthalates that we detected in the laundry rinse water would be from the dust on the clothing.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Erica Schrader, staff scientist at the Washington Toxics Coalition, and Heather Trim, Toxics Program Manager at People for Puget Sound. Our topic is the report, Puget Sound Down the Drain, How Everyday Products Are Polluting Puget Sound. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you give us a sense of the people you included in your study and their backgrounds?
So we wanted to get just a range of sort of everyday people in Puget Sound. We had families, so some of our participants had children, some did not. One was a retired woman who was living alone at this point but had recently redone her home, so she was very curious to see if she was going to have phthalates in her dust. We also had a scientist from NOAA who also works on toxic chemicals. We had a gentleman who's with the Duwamish tribe and his wife, and so we tested their home. And their home had been in their family since it had been built in the early 1900s. So it was a range of different types of homes because we wanted old ones and new homes. We have one that was built in 2008, brand new house, and a range of different people from around the Sound, and it had different sorts of family sizes.
What are the key findings of your study?
Well, we found in the house dust between 5 and 9 different phthalates, and we found phthalates in every sample of rinse water as well. And the chemical that we found in the greatest abundance was DEHP. You know, phthalates are a pretty complex family of chemicals, but DEHP is the one that's used primarily for home furnishing type things like vinyl flooring, shower curtains, wallpaper, that kind of thing. So we weren't surprised to find DEHP in the house dust. And as I said, we found it in the rinse water as well. So that's pretty strong evidence that this pathway is, in fact, a legitimate one, that we are seeing phthalates go from the dust on our clothing and then into the wastewater treatment stream when we wash our clothes in the washing machine. And we also did some calculations because we wanted to know, well, okay, so we find phthalates in the water. This is likely to be a pathway that they're getting into the sewage treatment plants. But how much is this, you know, significant pathway? So we did some calculations and, you know, made the assumption that if the water coming out of everybody's washing machine in the Puget Sound region had the phthalate concentration that was the average in our study, then we would see a contribution of about 2,110 pounds yearly from this source to the sewage treatment plants. And that makes up about 17% of the total load of phthalates going through the sewage treatment plants. So it is indeed a significant pathway.
If you look at the amount that was contributed by the laundry detergent that you also measured, how would that compare then with what's coming from the dust?
It's also a significant source, not nearly as high. Again, we did calculations assuming, based on the assumption that the detergent used in every household would have the same concentration of, in this case it was DEP, a different phthalate, that the Tide did. In that case, it would be a contribution of 87 pounds per year of DEP to the sewage treatment plant system.
So it would be a small fraction of the dust.
That's correct, but, you know, this was just one product.
Right.
So I do think it's worth further investigation looking at other products that are going down the drain because, you know, phthalates are very likely to be used in many cleansers that we literally pour down the drain.
That was the assumption that many people make, is that the main source of phthalates to the sewage would be from the products we use. Uh-huh. And what we were trying to show is that actually as we walk around our home, we and our clothing are essentially oilier than the air around them. So we attract chemicals in the air, plus we sort of basically sweep up the dust and attract the dust. So we are sort of like walking dust bunnies. And we were trying to look at just that piece of it, the dust part, which is actually coming in contact with us, and then how that might be getting into the sewage treatment plants.
Would you also mention how phthalates find their way into house dust?
Well, basically, we're looking at off-gassing from products. So as Erica mentioned, phthalates are not chemically bonded into the products. They are meant to actually off-gas. They're a lubricant in that product, in the plastic. So they off-gas. Also, there is micro-abrasion. As you move around your home and as different parts of your home work, there is evidence now that the little teeny bits of those products actually abrade or erode off and get into the dust as well. And that's been particularly seen with the flame retardants, PBDE. And when you look at your computer and you wipe the dust in your computer, they're seeing that it's just little micro-abrasions that are also getting into the dust.
How well do sewage treatment plants remove phthalates from the wastewater?
Well, sewage treatment plants do remove some of the phthalates from the wastewater. We don't have data from the Puget Sound area on exactly how well they do that. And it does vary by phthalate. So I can't give you particular percentages because we weren't able to get that data from the plants.
But we do know that phthalates and other chemicals like that actually are attracted to the solids. So when chemicals like this go through a sewage treatment plant, they attract into the solids, which is called biosolids. And in Washington State, most of that biosolid material is actually taken and used as a compost and spread on farms and on forests. And so one of our concerns is all these chemicals are going into that solid material that then is in contact with the workers as they're trying to spread that material and also then might wash off in stormwater. So whether it goes out into the Sound directly or it's going into the biosolids, that's a concern for us either way.
How do building materials compare with personal care items in terms of their contribution to phthalates polluting Puget Sound?
Well, you know, this is really preliminary data that we have. You know, we tested two different products that are cleaning products for their phthalate levels, and we don't have more widespread data on the actual levels, so it's really hard to say. It would definitely take more study. But one other thing I wanted to mention as far as the importance of this pathway is it probably actually is a larger percentage of the total source for other chemicals. So, you know, phthalates are one that we chose that happen to be also present in items like cleansers. Other chemicals like PBDEs or the perfluorinated compounds are going to be in other products that you're pouring down the drain to a much lesser extent. And so this pathway of them coming out of the products and getting into the house dust and then into the rinse water is likely to be much more significant for some other chemicals.
Say more about the other chemicals that are likely to be swept into Puget Sound by the dust from our clothing.
Well, I mentioned the perfluorinated compounds. Those are the Teflon chemicals that are used not only in our pans, but they're also stain protection treatments used on carpeting and on furniture. So those are ones that may be getting out of those products and into our house dust. Another one is the toxic flame retardants, the PBDEs, that we know are building up in our marine mammals. And that's been a real big question for PBDEs because they really are almost entirely used indoors. How are they getting out of these indoor products and into our orcas? Another one I could mention is bisphenol A, which is used to make polycarbonate plastic, and it's also used in food can linings. And bisphenol A is also turning up in our house dust. And so this could be one of the sources of bisphenol A to Puget Sound.
What response did you get from the individuals who participated in your study when they got the results for their home?
Well, most of them were quite surprised to find these levels of phthalates. Just as one example, there was a family in Olympia where the mom is actually a student at the Evergreen State College studying environmental science, and she'd already taken some action. She thought she was doing the right things, and in fact, they had the highest level of phthalates. And so what it really tells us is that it's hard to solve this problem on an individual basis. What we really need is larger action to look at how we can get these chemicals that are causing problems for people and Puget Sound out of the products.
How do your results compare with similar studies in other parts of the U.S. and internationally?
Well, what's interesting is that the levels of dust, of phthalates in the dust in the United States, are somewhat similar. We were within those range. But we did see that our levels of some of the main phthalates were lower than some of the dust studies that have been done in Europe. And one is not sure why. One could speculate that perhaps more vinyl flooring is used in some places in Europe than here. But this is the first study that's been done like this, so we have no other studies that have been done looking at the laundry water. So all we could do is just compare the dust from here in Europe.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Erica Schrader, staff scientist at the Washington Toxics Coalition, and Heather Trim, toxics program manager at People for Puget Sound. Our topic is the report, Puget Sound Down the Drain, How Everyday Products Are Polluting Puget Sound. In the case of phthalates, are there good alternatives available? How easy would it be to replace them in consumer products?
There are alternative plasticizers, and when we did our testing of toys, we found that 9 of the 20 PVC vinyl toys that we tested had phthalates in them, which means 11 of the 20 didn't. And those companies had switched to alternative plasticizers.
What are your public policy recommendations to address pollution of Puget Sound from the chemicals in consumer products, such as phthalates?
Well, we're asking for leadership from the governor, from the legislature, and from the state agencies. And the most important thing they need to do is enact legislation to ensure that only the safest chemicals can be used in products. So what we have now is a situation where it's really up to the manufacturers to make a determination on whether they think it's okay to use a chemical in a product, and there's very little government oversight on that. And so we have chemicals going into products that can cause cancer, learning problems, reproductive problems for people and for wildlife. And so what we need is our state to develop some authority. We don't have authority in our state agencies to keep those chemicals out of products. So that is really the most important thing we need, is for our state to take action on the toxic chemicals going into products.
We're also interested in the Puget Sound Partnership, which is a new state agency that's been developed by the governor. Their goal is to restore the health of Puget Sound by 2020, and we'd like to see leadership from them on the issue of these chemicals of importance, both for human health but also for the health of Puget Sound, and to actually develop some plans to begin to address these chemicals. They have started to look at what chemicals are out there and what the problems are, but they have not said, here's what we're going to do to reduce those chemicals.
Say more about what the Puget Sound Partnership has done so far.
Well, what they've done so far, and these have actually been excellent, is they've created special studies which are toxics loading studies. So they've determined there are about 17 chemicals of greatest concern to Puget Sound. Phthalates is one of those. And they're actually quantifying what the loads are that are coming in through all those 10 pathways into the sound. So that's a great first step, but we're now ready for them to move on and say, okay, we know phthalates are a problem and other chemicals are a problem. What are we going to do about it?
Do you think they're likely to move forward to address that issue?
I know they're interested, but, you know, it does take some public pressure sometimes to get these things going, and we are in a time of tight economic burdens, and so we have some shifting priorities right now, and we would like this issue of toxic chemicals to be high on their agenda, because not only is it impacting the sound, but it's impacting human health both directly in your home and also the fish that you then eat. So this is a very high priority for us.
What efforts are being made at the national level to keep toxic chemicals out of products?
There is interest in Congress right now in rewriting the laws that govern toxics in the United States. What we're operating under right now is the Toxic Substances Control Act, which was passed in 1976 and has required testing of only 200 out of the 80,000 chemicals now in commerce. So it's really a toothless law that's gotten us nowhere in terms of getting toxic chemicals out of products. So we have members of Congress right now looking at rewriting that statute.
And in addition, last year, the National Children's Safe Product Act was passed and signed by George Bush, and that reduced the levels of lead and phthalates in children's toys for children under the age of 3 to very, very low levels. Not quite a ban, but almost. So we have had some progress, and we're looking for more.
And how does the political atmosphere look at present for moving forward on this issue federally?
Well, federally, the politics look better than they have in a long time. So that's why we have people working in both houses of Congress on this issue right now.
How do you plan to follow up your study?
Well, we're interested in developing this issue further and figuring out what are the other important pathways for chemicals from products getting into Puget Sound. But honestly, we would like to see some agencies take this up. You know, we did a pilot study here with 6 homes and 1 chemical and on a fairly low budget. So we would love to see the agencies that are charged with protecting Puget Sound further develop this information and look at some other chemicals in the larger studies.
And in addition to that, there are other chemicals coming out of sewage treatment plants into Puget Sound, like pharmaceuticals and medications and that kind of thing. And we would like to see more testing being required of that in those sewage treatment plants so that we will know what needs to be reduced. Right now, there's resistance to doing that kind of testing.
Where do your two groups, the Washington Toxics Coalition and People for Puget Sound, plan to focus your efforts in the near future in regard to pollution in Puget Sound? Erica?
As I said, our top priority is getting legislation in the state and at the federal level that will take a precautionary approach and say chemicals that can cause cancer, learning problems, reproductive problems should not go into products in the first place. You know, we're spending a lot of money to clean up Puget Sound. We're spending a lot of money on treating health problems that are on the rise, like cancer. And what we need to do is go back to figuring out how we can prevent those problems and get those toxic chemicals out of the products.
We are spending hundreds of millions of dollars to clean up Puget Sound right now. In the next 15 years, we're going to spend many, many millions of dollars. It doesn't make sense for us to allow chemicals to continue to come in to the sound and repollute those areas we're cleaning up. It's much, much more cost effective to get the chemicals out at the top of the system, in our homes and in our products, instead of having to sort of clean it up after the fact. So this is actually a very high priority for our organization, is the issue of what's called pollution prevention. Let's get it out at the top of the system, out of the products.
What can individuals do to help address the issue of phthalate contamination of Puget Sound?
Well, there are a lot of things that individuals can do to reduce the use of the products that contain phthalates. And the first easiest thing to do is stop using PVC to the extent that you can. Make other choices for building materials and everyday products like shower curtains. And that will definitely reduce your use of phthalates. And you can also look for personal care products that don't contain phthalates. And as Heather said, they're not on the label, so it's a little challenging. But you can go to sites like the Skin Deep database, which is cosmeticsdatabase.org. Or the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics webpage, which lists companies that have pledged to stop using phthalates, and buy your products from those companies.
The other thing you can do is try to minimize the use of cleansers in your home and or move to alternatives. And there's some great websites that give you recipes for alternative cleansers. So that's an easy thing you can do to reduce sort of your exposure and the sound's exposure to a lot of toxic chemicals. But of course, we also would love everyone to help us with legislative work. And so we would encourage people to help on our advocacy campaigns to help get the policies changed at the state and federal level so you don't have to think about it. We don't want people to have to go to the store and look at the chemistry. We want it to be safe for everybody.
It really shouldn't be up to the consumer to figure out what's in all the products. We should be able to go into a store and know that the products that we're buying have been tested for safety and just be able to choose one. So, I mean, Heather's absolutely right. The very most important thing anyone can do is get involved in our advocacy efforts to change the policies so that all the products are safe. And right now what we're doing is, as a coalition, is we're setting up appointments with legislators to tell them about these issues and why they're so important and ask them for action at the state level. So people can definitely contact our offices if they're interested in getting involved at that level.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think that is the most important message, that, you know, the most important thing you can do is get involved to change the policies. And we have a number of different ways that you can plug in, you know, from meeting with a legislator to writing a letter or supporting our organizations financially.
People say to me all the time, how can you work on all these toxic pollution issues? It seems so overwhelming. And my answer to them is, I am really proud to be in Washington State. We are a leader in the country, and we have helped lead the rest of the country on some of these issues. So join us in helping continue that leadership.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Diane.
We have just been speaking with Erica Schrader, staff scientist at the Washington Toxics Coalition, and Heather Trim, Toxics Program Manager at People for Puget Sound. For more information about the report, Puget Sound Down the Drain, How Everyday Products Are Polluting Puget Sound, check on the web at www.watoxics.org. Again, that's watoxics.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.